So we are going to read from Psalm 139. We'll read the whole psalm, but Cleopas is going to be focusing particularly on the first six verses. But we'll read the whole psalm together. Psalm 139, which has the title for the director of music of David, a psalm. O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in behind and before. You've laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light become night around me. Even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God! How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. If only you would slay the wicked, O God. Away from me, you bloodthirsty men. They speak of you with evil intent. Your adversaries misuse your name. Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord, and abhor those who rise up against you? I have nothing but hatred for them. I count them my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Amen, and thanks be to God for his word.
So let us now think or reflect upon the first six verses of the psalm that we just read. Whenever we meet someone for the first time, we are likely to start asking questions, or an exchange of questions may take place. We will be getting to know each other. And many of us like the process of knowing each other. Maybe many of us enjoy talking about ourselves. We like knowing other people, and we like being known, especially if we are honest people, or if we are not very much into this protection of personal space thing. As I realized that in this context, people are very much worried about protecting their private or personal space. So if you come to them with questions, they will classify some questions as personal, so they become hesitant to answer such questions. In any way, we only want to be known up to a certain point. There are certain things that we would rather keep to ourselves. So our lives are like a giant theater. There is what happens on the stage, and there is what takes place behind the scenes. There are things that we are happy to push out into the spotlight for others to see and celebrate. There are also those things that we keep in the dark. We keep them in the dark passages, behind the curtains, underneath the stage, outside of the spotlights. So during the exchange of questions, in the process of knowing each other, if one asks us about those areas or those issues which we consider to be of the behind the scenes, we will have hard times being honest and transparent about them, or being transparent with our answers to such questions. But Psalm 139 teaches us that we are in fact fully known, not by others, but by our Father God. God fully knows us, so we are fully known. Our loving God knows us inside out. He knows us everywhere and for all time. In verse 1, the psalmist starts by these penetrating words. He said, "O Lord, you have searched me and known me." David, of course, is not implying that God was ignorant of him until he undertook a long and detailed examination like a medical specialist. By saying, "You searched me," it's just David's way of clearly expressing the truth that God is all-knowing. He is the God of infinity knowledge. I might be wearing a mask around you. I might be masking myself around you. But to God, there is no mask. The real me is fully known. The writer of the letter to the Hebrews in the New Testament sums up the contents of this well-known prayer psalm, Psalm 139, in Hebrews 4, verse 13. The writer of the letter to the Hebrews says that, referring to God, he said, "And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account." So God sees and knows everything. But God's knowledge, when used with reference to his people, it must not be thought of as some kind of a cold scientific like knowledge, but it's the kind that involves personal intimacy. It is a kind of relational knowledge, which is referred to by Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19, where Paul said to Timothy, "The Lord knows those who are his." We also see that in Psalm 1, verse 6, where the psalmist said, "For the Lord watches over the path of the godly, but the path of the wicked leads to destruction," which means God has a kind of intimacy or relational knowledge about his people, his children, those that are his, the righteous, as compared to the wicked. About the wicked, God knows about them, but it is just factual knowledge, which has no intimacy. It is just factual that he would wish that they would come to him. But for his children, he has a special covenantal knowledge about them, and that is relational. And the Hebrew word, which was translated to a phrase, to know, has a wide range of meanings. It can mean a very intimate knowledge. It is the word that describes the sexual relationship of a husband and wife. As we read in Genesis 4, verse 1, "And Adam knew his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain." So it's a close and intimate knowing. The word can also mean simple awareness of effect. So for correct interpretation of the Hebrew word to know, we usually consider the context. Psalm 139 shows that God has an ingressive knowledge, a knowledge that enters to our inward being. It's more than intimacy. The love of God towards us is more than intimacy. It is called exhaustive knowledge. Exhaustive knowledge. It's more than intimacy. If we were to compare it with the intimacy of the husband and wife, we would realize that though a husband and wife have that intimate relationship, but their knowledge of each other is not exhaustive. But God's knowledge of us is exhaustive. There is no one else who knows me like that. Verse 2 says, "Lord, you know when I sit down and when I rise up." David sitting down and rising covers all of his activities, everything that he is involved in throughout his life, and all his intentions are known and understood by God. Throughout his life, everything is known and understood by God. He said, "You discern my thoughts from afar." God knows not only what we do, but also why we do it, and what we are thinking as we do it. Sometimes someone may say to you, I could tell what you were thinking. They could be accurate, but God's knowledge of thoughts and motives is not an educated guess based on years of knowing the facial responses or body language of another. His is absolute knowledge, and it is from afar. It's not a guess based on seeing the face. In verse 4, David says, you know what I am going to say. You know what I am going to say even before I say it. God knows words that are yet to be spoken. The words that are still inside of us. He knows those words that we will keep behind the scenes. The words that we keep buried away until some trigger releases the torrent of anger. He knows those words that wouldn't reflect well on us if they came out. We keep those thoughts and words backstage. And David said, such knowledge is wonderful. Such knowledge is one of a kind. It is too high. I cannot attain it. Though such penetrating knowledge feels very disturbing to us, but the psalmist actually finds this knowledge profoundly comforting. It's a source of great pleasure to be known so closely, to know that the real me is known by God. It's wonderful to be known by God, the real me before the real God. But we should remember that the sum of what can be known about us does not speak in our favor. The sum or the total of what can be known about us does not speak in our favor. So if God was only a just God, his knowledge of us would lead to condemnation. That is why we always want to mask ourselves. We always attempt to mask the hidden evils of our hearts, which we cannot eradicate from inside us. So we go to great length to either pretend that the evil is not there, or at least to hide it from others. It made me remember the culture of graft and impunity that prevails in Zimbabwe. There is a journalist, an investigative journalist who is always investigating and exposing the corrupt activities of the government. So the government, instead of removing or doing away with the culture of corruption, the government makes a lot of effort to suppress such investigative journalism that is bent at exposing corruption. So the journalist is often beaten up by gangs of thugs and sometimes arrested without a charge. The government is so corrupt, but goes to great length to suppress exposure of that corruption. We are like that government, knowing our own inward corruption, but making great effort to cover it so that others may not see it. We make all the effort not to admit it when it is exposed. We have things to hide. So our all-knowing God would be just to bring punishment. But the good news is, besides being just, our God is also merciful. God is so merciful that he planned for Jesus Christ to absorb the consequences of our inner corruption so that we could be forgiven rather than condemned. Therefore, being known by our loving and merciful God is not threatening, but it is liberating. We can throw open the doors and let God in. There is nothing to hide because he has forgiven us. Knowing absolutely everything about me, he is willing to love me. He does not condemn me. Jesus Christ knows all about all people. No one is excluded from his knowledge. No part of our lives is excluded from his knowledge. He knows everybody and everything about everybody. Writing about the knowledge of Jesus Christ, Apostle John recorded in John chapter 2, verse 23 to 25. He said, "Now, while he was in Jerusalem at the Passover feast, many people saw the miraculous signs that he was doing and believed in his name. But Jesus would not entrust himself to them, for he knew all men. He did not need man's testimony about man, for he knew what was in a man. Jesus knows me, he knows you, inside out. There are no complete secrets in our lives. I might have succeeded in hiding something all my life, from everyone on earth, but I have not hidden it from Jesus. Jesus is the one who matters most in my life, in our lives, in your life. Jesus is the one who matters most. So the person who matters most knows most. The person whose judgment about me is all important knows all. So I am totally known. You are totally known. We are totally known. There is not the slightest part of my heart that is unknown to Jesus at this hour and every hour. Therefore, there is always at least one person I must relate to who knows everything about me. I might be able to look at others in the face and know that they do not know certain things about me, and their lack of knowledge shapes our relationship. Otherwise, they may reject me. But Jesus knows everything about me, but he did not judge and condemn me. I relate to Jesus Christ as one utterly laid bare. I am utterly known. What an amazing relationship. Nobody else comes close to my relationship with Jesus. Not even my wife, Atlin. Not my friends. I am fully known by one person, Jesus the Christ. He knows my heart perfectly, and he knows it better than me. Knowing everything about me, he is willing to love me. He has a special covenant love for those who trust him. Jesus does not love everybody in the same way, like what I hear being preached by liberal theologians. Jesus has a special covenant love for those who trust him. He does not love everybody in the same way. I will repeat that. Listen to the way he prays in John 17, verse 9. He said, I am praying for them, meaning those who follow him, meaning his followers. He said, I am praying for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. Jesus intercedes for those whom the Father has given to him. Those are his friends. Those are his sheep. Those are his disciples. Those are the children of God. They are those born again. Those who believe. So, if you received him as the Lord and Savior, there will always be someone who loves you, knowing everything and absolutely everything about you. And if you are like that, if you are among his sheep, if you become one of those who trust in him, if you give your life to him, you can then say together with his disciples, as recorded in John chapter 16, verse 30, the disciples said, "We know that you know all things and do not need anyone to question you. This is why we believe that you came from God." So the knowledge of Jesus Christ, according to John, because John wrote this gospel so that we could believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And in believing, we could have life in his name. So John is bringing out the fact that Christ's relational knowledge, Christ knowing absolutely everything about man, was proof that he is God. He came as fully God and fully man. So when we give our lives to him, we would say together with other followers that we know that you know all things and do not need anyone to question you. This is why we believe that you came from God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for this amazing love. We know that the sum of everything that you know about us does not speak in our favor. And you knew all that, absolutely knowing us, you gave us Jesus Christ. You so loved the world, absolutely knowing the brokenness of the world. And you gave us Jesus Christ, so that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. We thank you tonight that we are counted among those that believe. We are part of the whosoever for whom Christ came. We are part of the church, which is the reason why Christ came in the first place, the church that he died for, the church for which Christ will come back again. We want to thank you, Father, that you gave us Christ's righteousness, having known all things about us. Thank you for this covenant in the blood of Jesus. We give you all the glory tonight, and we pray for all this in Jesus' name. Amen.